This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Here's On the Record producer Melissa Gear with a story that originally aired on WYPR's The Signal about what gives Baltimore's Domino Sugar sign that sweet glow. It was placed 68 years ago this week.
Each day, I commute back into Baltimore coming off of I-95, and the Domino's Sugar sign plays peekaboo with me through openings in the slabs of concrete overpass. It disappears and reappears behind buildings and smokestacks as I wind my way into the city. And each day, it's kind of like a game. I try to catch a good, clear glimpse of it. Daytime or night, the enormous letters swirl and slant in the distance like this gorgeous urban sculpture. It's a signal that I'm home, and it's a distinct marker in the harbor of an adopted city I've come to love. And I'm not alone in my little obsession, I've learned. People in Baltimore love this sign.
We're getting married in 2 months, and our reception's going to be at the Baltimore Museum of Industry, and we picked that because the Domino Sugar sign will illuminate the dance floor.
I take 295 to 95, and on the ramp, I always see the big Domino Sugar sign. It just reminds me of old Baltimore, kind of like an old friend.
So when we were looking to buy a new home in Baltimore City, without that being an original intention, it became a criteria that the Domino Sugar sign be a view from our new house. And now every night before I go to bed, I see the red Domino Sugar sign from my window. And it's a sweet reminder that I'm in Baltimore City.
I started poking around about it and was actually quite excited to discover that this month is the 62nd anniversary of the Domino Sugar sign. It was installed on April 25th, 1951. A day on which I imagine there had to be some huge party, maybe a band or fireworks or who knows what else. It must have been a big deal when this giant neon glow would beam out onto the harbor for the very first time. So to get some historical perspective, I contacted the best person I could think of.
Not to be a flipper impertinent, please, but you don't know better. You really don't know.
Gilbert Sandler, Oracle of all things Baltimore.
You haven't seen anything. You weren't here in the 80s when we did Harbor Place and the Renaissance just wafted through like some magic perfume that we all breathed in. You weren't here, so you think the sign is a game changer. It wasn't.
He was kind about it, but I still felt a little deflated.
Why would they have done a big thing for a sign? We didn't do that. Nobody ever asked me at the sign, go cover that sign or putting a sign up. I never remember that. Ribbon cuttings, all that came. We didn't cover ribbon cuttings. Take an ad.
During our conversation, I actually found myself defending the significance of a neon sign. I wanted my fantasy of that day to be real.
I just don't remember any celebration when it went up. The celebration is that it's still up. That's the celebration. Something hasn't changed in a changing city. That's worthwhile celebrating, that sign is still there after 62 years. It's an important icon because it's part of what a Baltimorean defines, whether he knows it or not. It's his sense of place.
I wasn't interested in proving Sandler wrong so much as I wanted to do right by our sign. Because like Sandler said, it's an icon and it's part of what defines our sense of Baltimore. So how was there no big to-do when a giant 120 by 70-foot neon sign goes up in the harbor? But all I found, after searching historical photos and scouring every month, January through December 1951, in the Baltimore Sun archives, was this tiny notice that was actually more like a classified ad detailing the city council's business that day.
February 18th, 1951. Council Proceedings Number 2605. To permit the American Sugar Refining Company to increase the size of an illuminated sign on the roof of the Domino Building.
That was it. Seriously. I tried another route. I contacted Artcraft Strauss, a company in New York that designed and built the sign.
Hi, this is Arthur Baum at Artcraft Strauss, returning your call. I got your message. I don't know what information you require about the Domino sign. I did a little preliminary checking, and alas, we really have virtually no information on it whatsoever. We don't even have a project file for it, which is a file that would be that would contain information about the construction of the sign and so on. If you still need to talk to me, please call me back.
Yeah, I did call him back, and by that time, he had even checked their archives at the New York Public Library. Nothing. But this was the installation of the second largest neon sign on the East Coast. How was there nothing? Business as usual, Arthur explained, would just not have been documented. I was convinced something about the sign was bigger and brighter than business as usual. So I went to the epicenter to try to find out more.
And this tall white stack that everybody sees from the harbor is where we generate power. They have a 14 megawatt power plant on site. We're burning natural gas and producing steam and electricity to run the plant.
Stu Fitzgibbon is the Domino Sugar plant manager. He's been with Domino 32 years. In the three-hour tour, we saw the refining, processing, and packaging of millions of pounds of sugar. It's like a small city inside. There are about 600 people that work there. Everyone I encountered, whether I had a microphone pointed toward them or not, managed to work into the conversation how much the Domino plant felt like family. That loyalty, they were quick to add, went both ways. And that was an unexpected surprise. Their love for Domino was palpable. Toward the end of the plant tour, Fitzgibbon and I walked up to the top of the building and went out the door leading to the roof landing. We had a stunning view of downtown, and the inner harbor stretched out 9 stories below us. As we stood underneath Baltimore's beacon of giant letters, neon tubes, and transformers, I asked him what significance the Domino sign held for him. Oddly, he began to recount the explosion at Domino in 2007. The plant had experienced complete power failure. The 6 o'clock news had reported a huge disaster, and the helicopters were still circling. They had just put out the fires inside and were taking stock of what they could power back up and what they couldn't. And because he was the plant manager, they put the question to him. You can do one of 3 things. You can turn on the refinery, you can turn on the packaging department, or you can turn on the sign.
And there was a state of disbelief when I told them to turn the sign on because they couldn't understand why I would want to make product. We couldn't do both. And I said, no, we need to tell the public that we're still running. And we put the sign on, and it was all over the 11 o'clock news. So I think it was the right decision, and it was the right decision for the employees, because when that light came back on, the people that weren't at work, I'm going to start crying, the people who weren't at work knew that they would still have a place to work. Sorry. It's a little emotional for me. So that's what the sign means to me.
Did I imagine that a neon sign the size of a basketball court could be installed 62 years ago without any fanfare? No, that didn't make sense to me. Did I imagine I'd be standing underneath the same sign, hearing a plant manager tell a story about the people that work there with tears in his eyes? Nope, but that does make sense to me now, because the trip to the plant crystallized for me why Baltimore feels such affection for the Domino Sugar sign. It's not so much about what the sign was, but what it's become. And like Fitzgibbon said, the sign really represents all the people who work beneath it. While its bright neon glow comes directly from the energy the plant creates, the people inside create that energy. So the sign, just like Baltimore really, is all about the people. That energy, by way of 150 transformers and 6,300 feet of neon tubing, radiates its sweetness out all over Baltimore, saying, just like the packaging claims, "We'll always be your sugar." Thanks, Domino, for 62 years of that sweet topping you bring to the Baltimore skyline, and I hope for many more years to come.
That was On the Record producer Melissa Gear telling the story behind the iconic Domino Sugar sign that lights up Baltimore's Inner Harbor. Yesterday was the 68th anniversary of putting the sign in its lofty place. Some other notable Baltimore anniversaries coming up: the Baltimore Youth Kinetic Energy Collective, BIKE, celebrates 5 years this weekend with an event at its workspace at 403 East Oliver Street tomorrow, Saturday, from 4 to 8 p.m. And you can celebrate 2 years of Sagamore Spirit Distillery tomorrow, beginning at 12 noon at 301 East Cromwell Street. Next Saturday is the American Visionary Art Museum's 21st annual Kinetic Sculpture Race. It launches at 10 a.m. from AVAM at 800 Key Highway. Then that evening, you can dance the night away at Strong City Baltimore's 50th anniversary party, Get On Up. So many events to celebrate the good that's happening in Baltimore. We have details at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Have a sweet weekend.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.